Sleep Time Podcast. For when you're so wrapped up in all of life's little problems that you simply can't unwind, this is the companion that will talk you to sleep. to happen. So listen on and sleep well. Described to them was one more strange Australian animal, and they sometimes attributed unfamiliar animal calls or cries to it. Thank you. also suggested that 19th century Bunyip lore was reinforced by imported European folklore, such as that of the Irish Puka. A large number of Bunyip sightings occurred during the 1840s and 1850s, particularly in the southeastern colonies of Victoria, New South Wales, and South Australia, as European settlers extended their reach. The following is not an exhaustive list of accounts. Thank you. 1930, more significant was the discovery of fossilized bones of some quadruped much larger than the ox or buffalo in the Wellington Caves in mid-1930 by bushman George Rankin and later by Thomas Mitchell. Sydney's Reverend John Dunmore Lang announced the find as convincing proof of the deluge, referring to biblical accounts of the flood. But British anatomist Sir Richard Owen identified the fossils as the gigantic marsupials, Nototherium and Diprotodon. At the same time, some settlers observed that all natives throughout these districts have a tradition of a very large animal having at one time existed in the large creeks and rivers, and by many it is said that such animals now exist. First written use of the word bunyip in 1845. In July 1845, the Geelong Advertiser announced the discovery of fossils near Geelong under the headline, "Wonderful Discovery of a New Animal." This was a continuation of a story on fossil remains from the previous issue. The newspaper continued, "On the bone being shown to an intelligent black, he at once recognized it as belonging to the bunyip, which he declared he had seen. On being requested to make a drawing of it, he did so without hesitation." The account noted a story of an Aboriginal woman being killed by a bunyip, and the most direct evidence of all, that a man named Mumbaran, who showed several deep wounds on his breast, made by the claws of an animal. provided by this description of the creature. The Bunyip then is represented as uniting the characteristics of a bird and an alligator. It has a head resembling an emu with a long bill, at the extremity of which is a transverse projection on each side with serrated edges like the bone of a stingray. Its body and legs partake of the nature of an alligator. The hind legs are remarkably thick and strong, and the forelegs are much longer, but still of great strength. The extremities are furnished with long claws, but the blacks say it is usual method of killing its prey is by hugging it to death. When in the water, it swims like a frog, and when on shore, it walks on its hind legs with its head erect, in which position it measures 12 or 13 feet in height. Shortly after this account appeared, it was repeated in other Australian newspapers. This appears to be the first use of the word bunyip in a written publication. Thank you. where I bid you good night, dear listener. Please remember that sleep is a natural part of life, and not something that we must force to happen, merely something we allow to happen. So listen on, and sleep well, as I wish you only the sweetest of dreams. Thank you.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.